Cans rolled underfoot, giving way to soft, squishy gunk. I felt myself slide and hooked a hand onto the dumpster rim, cracking my elbow against the side in the process. I swore and blinked back tears. I found a plastic bread bag that was relatively clean and used it like a glove to carefully paw through the slop, moving cautiously, scared to death I'd fall face first into the artichoke and calf brains vinaigrette. The amount of discarded food was sobering, the wastefulness almost as revolting as the all-pervasive odor of rot that seared the inside of my nose and clung to the roof of my mouth. After what seemed like an eternity, I discovered the keys sunk into some yellow-brown glop. I didn't see any Pampers nearby, so I hoped the glop was mustard. I stuck my bagged hand in whatever it was and gagged. I held my breath, tossed the keys over the edge onto the blacktop, and didn't waste any time following. I wiped off the keys as best as I could with the bread bag. Most of the yellow stuff came off, rendering the keys good enough for emergency driving. I got out of my shoes by stepping on the heels, and I used the two-finger sissy approach to peel my socks away. I inspected the rest of me. Aside from some Thousand Island dressing smeared on the front of my shirt, I seemed unscathed. Newspapers had been stacked for recycling beside the dumpster. I covered the driver's seat with the sports section, just in case I'd miss some noxious substance stuck to my ass. I spread paper over the passenger side floor mat and gingerly set my shoes and socks in the center. I glanced at the remaining section of paper, and a headline jumped out at me. Local man killed in drive-by shooting. Beneath the headline was a picture of John Cusack. I'd seen him on Wednesday. Today was Friday. The paper in my hand was a day old. I read the story without breathing. Cusack had been gunned down late Wednesday night in front of his apartment building. It went on to say how he'd been a hero in Nam, getting the Purple Heart, and how he was a colorful, well-liked neighborhood figure. As of press time, the police had no suspect and no motive. I leaned against the Cherokee, trying to absorb the reality of John Cusack's death. He'd been so big and alive when I'd spoken to him. And now he was dead. First, Edelman, the hit and run, and now Cusack. Of the three people who'd seen and remembered the missing witness, two were dead. I thought about Mrs. Santiago and her children and shivered. I carefully folded the paper and slid it into the map pocket. When I got back to my apartment, I'd call Gazara and try to get some reassurance of Mrs. Santiago's safety.
This ends Disc 4.